actually that we have such a great privilege and freedom that we can come and worship and praise you here. When you think of the countries around the world that are struggling at the minute, Lord, we just thank you that we have this freedom to come today and worship and praise your name. And I just pray now, Lord, as we come to your living word, Lord, that you just challenge us and you just uplift us and build us up and edify us too, Lord, because we want to be more in line with Jesus through what you want to say this morning. And I thank you that we just serve a wonderful, fantastic, almighty God who wants the best for each and every one of us. So this morning we're looking at the next part of our series on prayer. And it may like it seem like it's going on forever, but there's a reason for that. Because there is such a power in prayer. You know, it's the top of our core values. If we don't get our prayer life in line, the rest of the core values don't really make sense. So this is why we really are drumming home prayer to us all. And this is just another way, another tool, another way of looking at prayer. And it's corporate prayer we're doing today. So let's turn to Joshua, just in case we start. Joshua 6. Okay. Jesus, a couple of words. Got a lot of phones, obviously. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went in and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho to your land, with its kings and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city with all the men of war, going around each city once. Thus you will do this for 6 days. Seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast, the ram's horn, you will hear the sound of the trumpet, and all the people will shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him." I don't know about you, but I find a lot of individuality in society today. A lot of people think of just themselves first. So to get my house in order, get everything straight, then I think about helping others. Then I'll think about the group of people around me. And it's quite a worrying thing when you look at society today. Because if we're not careful, it can actually creep into our prayer life. It can actually creep into our way we think of church. I want to be sorted out first, and then I might just get involved with everybody else. You know, there's books and social media upon social media about your individual health, individual needs, your individual wealth, your well-being, how you think, how you act. And actually, when you look at Christian books on prayer life, the majority are on individual prayer. Whether that's devotionals, quiet times, things you want to do. There are very few Christian books out there that talk about corporate prayer. And I think this is where we get the wrong mindset of how to approach prayer in the first place. Yes, Matthew 6:6, Jesus says, go into a quiet place, shut the door, and pray to your Father. But if that's all our prayer life ever will be, we have a very, very unbalanced prayer life. Because when you look at the way the New Testament talks about prayer, 90% of it is in the context of being in a group. 90% of it is talking about corporate prayer. There's a quote here from David Wells I found. He's a theologian. Some may have heard of him, some may not. I don't know who he is. But I thought it spoke very well when he said this. "We've come to believe that our top priority should it be that we seek our own authenticity before all else. Where these assumptions are intruded upon the church, our spirituality has become extremely privatised, highly individualistic, inimical to commitments, and quite ethically indifferent. Because this is so, we lose our appetite for God, our taste for His Word, and our sense of dependence on Christ. Our God has become too small, and are often lost amiss in our own inner preoccupations. The world, as Thomas just shared, is facing big problems. The church is facing big problems. We in our own lives can be chasing big problems. And we need a big God to sort it out. See, when we come corporately together, we get a much bigger picture of what God wants to do. We look at Ukraine, we look at the world problems. And yes, we can individually pray about it. But when we corporately come together and pray about the situation, there is so much more power behind it. Because we've all got the same mindset of what we're actually praying about. I don't know about you, but have you got walls that need to come down? Have you got barriers up that you think you can't deal with and are trying to pray through it? You see, the thing is, God has created us to be a corporate body. He's created us to be a community of believers and are members of a body. 1 Corinthians 12, we all know it so well. I'm going to read it anyway because it's powerful. You don't have to turn to it if you don't want to. Says this: "For just as the body is one, has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, are one body, and so it is with Christ. But in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. The body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. Or if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would make it not any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as He chose. If we were all a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." See, the story of the wall of Jericho wasn't just one person walking around, was it? It was a body of believers coming together to knock a wall down. From a prostitute to priests, all had a part to play. All had something to bring, all had something to give. And yes, some had minor parts, like the spies and the prostitute at the beginning of it all. But without those spies and the prostitute hiding them, the rest of the story wouldn't exist. He had read men of war in there. You had priests walking around. And it was the one body of people, different giftings, different lifestyles, different backgrounds, coming together to take that wall down. See, God's heart is for the corporate. God's heart is for togetherness and unity. You only need to look at the Trinity to see how corporate works. All three have different parts to play, yet all three work together in a synergy that brings power. And the beauty is that God invites us into that Trinity as part of that body. Every believer is invited into that Trinity to be part of what God plans. We were created for that reason, to partner with Him, to be aligned with Him, so that the walls of Jericho that we face can be knocked down. Amen. Jesus says, where two or more are gathered, I am with you. Now that doesn't say he's not with you when you're in your private place or in your devotional or whatever. But I think God realises that really, if you want power in prayer, we needed to do it as a corporate body. You know, if one part's missing, it doesn't work. If you want to catch a cricket ball and the arm doesn't turn up, you could end up with a black eye. Mm-hmm. Amen? Each part has to be active and each part has to be alert to what they're being called to do individually. But they need to bring it corporately to the body to make it really function. You see, we come to listen to sermons not to be entertained. I hate to blow that out of the water for you, but you don't. You come to be built up, edified, and become more aligned with Jesus. That is the whole point of a sermon. When we come to worship, we don't just sing individually, we come together as a body to worship God, to unite ourselves with Him, to worship and praise His name, so He can then come to us and really build us up. When we come to the communion table, it's a communion, the clue's in the word. We come to declare what Jesus has done at the cross for us, as a body of people. You know, in Bickerstaff, when I take the services for Andrew, going back some time, going back before I was even a Christian, every now and again I would go to Bickerstaff Church for whatever, dragged along the screen, probably by the wife. But I remember us singing the Psalms. We used to sing the Psalms. Every Sunday there would be a psalm up and we would sing it as a body of the church, all together. And that, to me, was so powerful. Because the Psalms really are prayers of David, aren't they? That's what he's praying at the moment. Whatever he's going through, the Psalms reflect David's heart to God. And that's why the Psalms, I love the Psalms. I absolutely love them. Because they're so powerful. And that every emotion you can think of going on in there, isn't there? From praise to down in the dumps, to praise to down in the dumps. So we go round in circles with him. But they're beautifully put together. And when a body of, well, I went there, there's probably at least 60 or 80 people in that church singing one psalm all together, you can really feel the Spirit move. And even back then, we used to, when everybody got shy or couldn't sing, we ended up talking the psalms too. But again, it was like making the church pray one prayer. And again, you could feel uplifted yourself. You could feel yourself, yes, we can do this as a body. And that's why I love the Lord's Prayer at the end of each sermon. That's why I love to do the Lord's Prayer at the end of this. We're going to do it again. Because when we stand and say the Lord's Prayer, yes, all right, it's a bit dry. I know we're not a traditional church with bits and pieces. But we have such a lot to learn from each other. That's why I love churches together. Because there's not one perfect church. We're closer to than others. But we've got such a lot to learn from everybody within our church body. So one voice declaring who God is, isn't it? It's one voice saying, yes, let's praise and worship. See, the early church understood the power of God. Acts 2:42. It's the church everybody wants to be, isn't it? It's what we all keep saying. But they were basically a prayer meeting. They weren't particularly up there singing songs and got a sermon and doing this and doing that. It was basically a prayer meeting to encourage everybody to go out that day to really go for Jesus, to really share his name, to really take home the gospel to people around them. And it's when they were corporately together, you felt energised to do it. And I don't know about you, but if I've missed church for a couple of weeks for whatever reason, I feel flat. I feel as though I'm not really functioning properly. This is why this is so important. A Sunday morning and our small groups are so important. To corporately come together, to build each other up, to edify each other, and to allow the Holy Spirit to move in a powerful way through us. See, corporate prayer, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourages everybody else to pray. It encourages and builds everybody up. I don't know about you, but when I'm in a prayer meeting, and we've got to excuse me because Wednesday night is no longer good for us because we've got Jamie, our grandson, that's why we've not been. But the one we've been to, I've been absolutely fantastic. Why? Because I pray for longer. I find I can pray more focused when I'm with a group of people than when I'm on my own. Because when I'm on my own, I struggle. I still struggle. I still struggle with the 2 minute silence on each end. I still struggle to stop the mind wandering. Because I'm like, yeah. And the devil goes, ooh, shiny. And I'm like, yeah. And God's going, no, you're over here praying. When I've corporately prayed, that doesn't work. When I'm with a group of believers that are really going in the same direction, I get such a lot out of it. I don't know about you. Andrew said a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago, we're influenced by our history and our background, how we approach our faith, and how we approach our prayers, and how we approach our worship. And when we corporately pray together, it expands our perspective. It opens our eyes and ears to what other people are praying about and how they pray. I've learned so much how to pray through corporate body than just sitting on my own on the settee in the lounge. See, that affects our faith, how we pray. See, when we're on our own, it can be very narrow, dare I say, very biased. And we come with our own agenda. And that's not always necessarily what God's calling us to do or to be. See, it enables us as a body to make decisions in line with God's wisdom. This is why I love crafted prayer, which I spoke on some weeks ago. And of course, I spoke on fasting, so they're the top 3 minutes in the league. Our sermons on prayer, corporate prayer, crafted prayer, fasting. Then I think tongues comes after that, doesn't it, Dave?
We relegated.
Yeah. I feel like I'm in there. Yeah. Sorry, Alison. But crafted prayer to me, it brings our mindset to what God wants us to pray about, not our own agenda. Matthew 6:8 says, the Lord knows what we need before we even ask. So why not get in line with what he's thinking corporately? And wow, then watch us go. Corporate prayer fosters unity. Ephesians 4:3 says, the unity of the Spirit, the oneness in our identity, the oneness in our relationship. It's more we than me. And it brings about a common goal. That's what corporate prayer does. A common goal for us as a body. You know, John 17:22, Jesus prays to the Father that he is like him, at one with his Father, so his church will be like one with him. Not individuals, but his church are one with him. Because Jesus realizes that he couldn't do anything without the Father. And he realizes we as a body of the church cannot do anything without him. That's why he prays for that oneness. So we can be aligned with his thoughts, his will, his way. And corporately, when we're a body, it brings power to us. It helps edify one another when we're a group. It multiplies intercession when we're a group. It multiplies our thanksgiving and praise when we're in a group. And therefore, our faith grows. Folks, we have all different parts to play. I was going to say from prostitute to priest, but... You bring being a part of the body to this church that's important for you. Yeah?
That's right.
Don't care what it is. Because from the size of the posture, you have very little to do with the actual fall of the Jericho. Without that beginning, it would never have happened. And we need the men of war and we need the priests to bring it about. You are important. And if you listen to this on the podcast, come back, because you are important. Everybody is important. I looked up the meaning in a dictionary of what corporation means. And of course, this is a secular sort of wording, but I'll read it. And it says this. It's an organisation made up of a group of people authorised by a governing body to act as a single entity with a clear identity of its own. I'll read it again. You don't have to write it down. Corporation is an organisation made up of a group of people authorised by a governing body to act as a single entity with a clear identity of its own. I'll read it as the believer of God now. Corporation is the church made up of a body of people of believers authorised by God to act as a single entity with a clear identity of its own. And that's what God wants for us. A church, a body, authorised by Him.